Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew is back here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. In addition, we thank you for joining us. Today's date is Saturday, January 21st, 2017, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another exciting and super exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Without any further delays, I would just like to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. Hey, I would just like to ask if everyone could please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Richard, the microphone is yours.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go. That's when I think of you. When shadows fall at the close of the day, I turn on the switch and it starts into play.
Comes in with a jab to the head, a hook to the jaw, and a smash to the nose.
Thanks, Luis, up there in frozen Pennsylvania. For me up here in frozen southern Ontario. Well, we're into winter. The sooner we get into it, the sooner we get out of it. Welcome in, folks. Our first go-around for 2017. And I think it's a pretty good show. And Daniel's partly responsible, because he left me something. I don't know if he realized he left me something, but when he did his Halloween marathon, he picked up his root beer at the end of the night, and something slipped off the desk, was laying on the floor, and nobody saw it. Until now. I picked it up and said, aha, and maybe something would work for Halloween, but it'll work for us right now, too. Because most of us like train stories. And this is one of them. The Mysterious Traveler and the Ghost Locomotive. Okay, so we give it a try? Let's all go off on a toot.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler. This is The Mysterious Traveler. Invite you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can. For in a few moments, you're going to meet a ghost, the strangest phantom that you ever heard of. But first, I want you to be my guest on a little train ride. We're running at 60 miles an hour on open track in the dead of night. Now we thunder through a sleeping village. Then beyond it, we plunge into the waiting mouth of a tunnel. We race through the tunnel and into the open again. Over a threshold and on into the night. A little world of our own, rushing forward resistlessly. A symbol of power and speed and life. Yes, trains do have a life of their own, as you'll see in the unusual ghost story that I call... The Locomotive Ghost. My story starts some years ago, in a hilly region of western Pennsylvania. It's almost midnight, and two men laden down with several handbags are moving cautiously over the rough ground beneath a railroad trestle. They come to a spot beneath one end of it, and there in the darkness, they stop and turn on a flashlight.
All right, we can sit down and rest now.
Yeah. Sure this is the right spot?
Of course I'm sure. It's the loading spur. It branches off at a mine entrance. Main line's over there, about 100 yards away.
How long do you think we'll have to wait?
5 or 10 minutes. These mine trains don't run in a minute the way they do out in the main line.
Suppose the money isn't on the mine train. They might have changed their plans.
They'll be on it. Those miners are waiting for their pay, and the treasurer's bringing it himself. Plus bonus money and cash for operating expenses. Big haul, my friend. $200,000.
$200,000? That's a lot of dough, but...
But what? You getting cold feet?
No, of course not, but... Well, they'll be killed, won't they? The crew on the train?
Forget it. I thought you were turning soft on me now after I spilled the whole plan to you.
No, Joe, I'm not turning soft. Joe.
What is it?
I heard a noise then. Over there.
It's just your imagination. Oh, you're right. Somebody's coming. Keep the light steady. I got my gun handy.
Who could it be?
Probably just a bum. Off to sleep under this trestle.
All right, you step where you are.
It's only me, boys. Just old Boomer.
Who?
Old Boomer, that's all. Looking for a place to bunk. Howdy, boys.
Okay, Tom, I heard of this guy. So you're old Boomer, huh? The one they call a king of the bums?
Not the king, son. Just a traveling swat of them all. 50 years I've been riding the roads, and I guess I've covered a million miles of track. Mind if I sit down here? Got kind of aching my bones.
Sit down if you want
to. Thanks, son. Say, you fellas ain't bums. You're dressed too good.
Never mind about us. Curiosity ain't healthy.
Old Boomer never fights with anybody. Live and let live's his motto. Listen, here comes number 25. Mighty fine train, 25. Got a 16-wheel Mikado engine, can pull 20 cars at 80 on a level track. He's 50 seconds late tonight.
Do you know every train on the tracks?
Pretty near, son, pretty near. I ain't rode them all. I rode them all, I mean, from the Lackawanna to the Santa Fe. There ain't much about trains I don't know. Say, you fellas wouldn't have a little nip handy to take the chill out of an old man's bones.
No, we ain't got a little nip handy.
Sure, son. No harm in asking. There's the 25 passing Minesville now. Ain't that whistle far off in the night a sweet, mournful sound, though?
Yeah, it is kind of mournful.
Sounds are far off and ghostly, don't it? Well, sometimes there's a ghost you hear, not a real train at all.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that sometimes when you hear a train whistling far off and mournful in the night, it ain't a real train at all. It's a ghost train.
Ghost train? It's a lot of hooey.
You just think so because you're young and don't know better. But old Boomer can tell you. There's ghost trains and plenty of them. They're the ghosts of trains that died in wrecks. Anything as live as a train is bound to have a ghost live on after.
All right, can the chatter. You're hurting my ears.
Well, let him talk. Joe, it helps pass the time.
All right, but if you ask me, he's spotting a lot of bushwah.
Go on, Boomer. What were you saying about trains having ghosts?
Well, I've seen them many a time. Running the tracks with all lights out, gone faster than the wind. Not a sound coming from them. I've seen the Heavenly Express, too, a couple times.
What's the Heavenly Express?
It's a special train, son. It's on the Earth to Heaven run. Travels a million miles a minute when it gets up speed. Takes the souls of railroad men from this world to the next. It always passes by when a wreck's gonna happen.
That's enough talk. I'm sick of listening to you.
All right, son. You don't believe me, but I know what I know. Here it comes. I hear it coming now.
Hear what coming?
The Heavenly Express. It's coming down this track. Listen.
I don't hear anything.
There's nothing to hear.
Passing right by overhead. Now it's slower. It's going to stop. Never stopped before. That means Rex's going to be here.
Joe, he knows.
That's it. That's what you're here for. You're going to wreck that mine train.
Hear that, old man? That's a mine train turning into this spur. You're right, we're going to wreck it.
No, you can't. You mustn't.
But before we do, we got to take care of you. And this is how we're going to do it.
You shot him.
I did. Heavenly Express stopped for me, too. I sure hope so. But you fellas, it'll punish you. It'll follow you, sure as I'm laying here.
Oh, follow us. What are you talking about?
The judgment special. It punishes fellas who wreck trains on purpose. It runs any place has tracks. And it follows them until it gets them, one way or another. Because murdering a train is like murdering a man. You got to pay for it. And you'll pay for it. Think I'm crazy. You'll see. You'll see.
Yeah, that shut him up. Crazy old coot.
I wish you hadn't killed him, Joe.
Don't be a sap. Couldn't let him live to tell what he knew, could I?
No, of course not.
Listen. I hear the mine train coming. We just got time to get ready now. Put the suitcase with the dynamite against the trestle here. That's it. Now, come on, help me unroll a wire.
Yeah, sure, Joe. Anything you say.
That's it. Keep coming. Gotta get plenty far away. Hear the train now?
Yeah, I hear it. I can see the headlight, too. Look how bright it is.
Okay, this is far enough. Take me just a second to hitch up the detonator. There it is. Now, we're all ready.
He's on the trestle now. Almost halfway across.
What's the matter? You sound shaky. Listen, Tom, you're in this now. It's too late to back out, you hear?
Yeah, I know. It's almost across.
All right, then, I'll close the detonator. Now, there she goes.
Later, the two men, Joe Malone and Tom Henderson, were driving eastward through the night, far from the scene of the train wreck. Between them on the seat was a large handbag, and Joe Malone at the wheel patted it lovingly.
$200,000.
Huh?
You realize that, Tom? We got $200,000 right here between us.
Yeah, I know.
What's the matter? You don't sound very happy about it.
Sure I am. It's just...
Just what?
Well, I can't help remembering the crash when the mine train went into the ravine. The way the whistle kept screaming, just like the locomotive was something alive that was being killed.
For Pete's sake, the whistle valve got stuck when the engine crashed, that's all.
Sure, I know that, only... Well, I just can't help remembering it. Joe, the crew were all killed, weren't they?
Suppose they were. What do you care? You're as nervous as an old woman. Should never have rung you in on this job.
I'm all right, really, I am, Joe. Listen, what are you going to do with your $100,000?
I'm heading for the big town. I'm going to have one swell time. I'm going to buy new clothes, stay at the best hotel in town, and really cut loose. Meet me in New York, I'll show you a real time.
Where are you going to stay?
Mrs. Miller's boarding house. It's over on the west side. You can find it in the phone book.
Uh-huh.
I'm just staying there till I can buy some real classy duds. And I'm moving to Park Avenue. Always had a yen to live on Park Avenue. Now I'm going to see what it's like.
Yeah, sounds all right. Maybe, Joe, look out that train!
What'd you do that for? Why'd you grab the brake? You stalled us right here in the middle of a railroad crossing.
Oh, I had to, Joe. The train on the track there in front of us. We almost ran into it.
What are you talking about? There wasn't any train on that track.
But there was, running without lights and not making a sound.
You're crazy. I tell you, there wasn't anything in sight, not even a hand car.
But I saw it, Joe.
Never heard of a train running without lights. That proved you're crazy.
Oh, well, maybe it was an empty. But if I hadn't stopped the car, we'd have smashed into the side of it.
Never mind the suck you won. Now we're stalling the railroad track, and the car won't...
God, I'll get out and push. Joe, look, our headlight.
Real train this time, coming around the bend. It's up 200 yards off.
Joe, it's going to hit us. We got to jump.
Yeah, but this door won't open. It's stuck.
Come on, out this side. Come on, I got the bag.
Oh, my coat's caught in the car door. I'm stuck. Help me.
I can't, Joe. Joe.
Help me, Don. Help. Help me. Help.
Mister, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. But my friend, he must have been killed.
Yes, he sure was. So when do you get away? Look at your car. There's pieces of it spread a quarter mile up the track. Whatever made you stop right there in the crossing?
Car stall. Who are you?
I'm the crossing watchman.
Watchman? Why weren't you on duty? Why didn't you signal there was a train coming?
Because I didn't know it, mister. That was the wrecking train taking doctors down to Mineville. It was unscheduled.
Oh, I see. What about the other train? The one that went past going east just before the wrecking train hit us.
Other train?
Yeah.
Well, no other train due through here till 6 a.m. this morning.
I saw it, I tell you. Traveling without lights.
No train ever travels without lights. It's against the law. Say, are you drunk?
No, I'm not.
Where are you going? Listen, I got a report to make on this. You got to fill out a form.
Forget it. I'm not interested. Get away from here. I'm going to New York.
Late the next afternoon, Tom Henderson reached New York. Not knowing where else to go, he hunted in the phone book for Mrs. Miller's boarding house that Joe Malone had mentioned and went there. Mrs. Miller gave him a room on the top floor, and there he carefully locked in the closet the precious handbag that held $200,000. All of it his since Joe's unfortunate death. After that, Tom went out to see New York's nightclub. He got back after midnight, feeling considerably more cheerful. As he was about to unlock his door, Mrs. Miller appeared in the hall.
Oh, Mr. Henderson.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Miller.
I was waiting for you, Mr. Henderson.
Huh?
It's turned so cool that I lit the gas heater in your room.
Well, thanks a lot.
I just wanted to warn you that you...
What was that?
What was what, Mr. Henderson?
That whistle just now. What was it? A boat out in the river?
That was the freight train, Mr. Henderson.
Freight train? Here in the heart of New York?
Well, yes. They come down the west side elevated tracks to the freight yard downtown. They run past just a few yards down the street.
I didn't know that. I wouldn't have come here if I had.
Oh, I'm sure they won't bother you, Mr. Henderson. Really, they won't. Well, good night.
Oh, battle axe. She's sure they won't bother me. It's too late to find someplace else that I'd leave here right now. I'll close it with that. There. I'll keep the sound out. Anyway, suppose I can hear a train or two. I'm can hearing them do me. I'm going to go to sleep and forget it. Yeah, forget it. I've got 200,000 bucks and my whole life ahead of me. Should let an old coot like that boomer worry me. Joe's getting killed by a train was just an accident. Could happen to anybody. Me? I'm alive. Tomorrow, I'm going to start enjoying it plenty.
Second, then we got to be on time.
Boomer, it's you.
That's right, son. You got to wake up and get aboard. We're pulling out.
A railroad station someplace, but everything's so misty, I can't see much.
No time for talking, son. You got to get aboard.
Yeah, but I'm the only passenger, except for you and me, there isn't another soul in sight. And you're wearing a conductor's uniform.
They promoted me. Now, come on, get aboard.
I don't want to. I don't like trains. I don't want to go anyplace.
Can't help it. This is a special trip just for you. And you got to be aboard. Come on now, up those steps. That's it. Now we're off right on time to the millionth of a second.
Where are we going? What train is this? Quite completely empty except for me and you.
That's right, son. It's a 1,000-car train pulled by 30 engines. And you and me are the only ones aboard.
Well, where are we going? What train is this, anyway?
It's a judgment special, son. And we're bound from this world to the next.
No. No!
Yes, or any place there's tracks the judgment special goes. We stopped right outside your engine, took you aboard.
I don't want to die. I don't want to.
You haven't any choice, son. You're on the judgment special and we're hitting 1,000,000 miles a minute now.
Huh?
Look out the window. There's the earth way down below us. See it?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to leave it. I want to go.
Look at the stars flash by. We're going 1,000,000 miles a minute and it'll take us all eternity to get there.
Yep.
Here, I'll put the wind up so you can see better. There you are, son. There's the earth with us. That tiny little daughter right, way up in the sky.
Oh, hey, won't go with you. I won't.
Hey.
I won't.
What are you doing? Get down.
I
can't jump out that window. We're going 1,000,000 miles in it.
I won't jump. I'm not going with you.
Come back. Come back.
Come back. Wake up. Wake up.
Hey,
Anderson, wake up. Wake up.
What is it?
Henderson, thank heaven you're still alive. I thought you were dead for sure.
What happened?
But you closed your window. I meant to warn you that with the gas heater on, you must leave it open. Well, you almost suffocated in your sleep.
I almost suffocated?
Yes. If I hadn't heard you trying to get your breath and hurried in and opened your window, you'd have been dead now for sure.
The rest of the night, Tom Henderson spent sitting on a bench in the nearest park, shivering at the nearness of his escape. The next day, he bought himself an expensive wardrobe. Then he checked into the biggest hotel on Park Avenue. There, 40 floors above the street, he was quite sure he wouldn't be bothered by hearing trains or having curious dreams about them. Especially as just before he retired, he took a sleeping tablet.
There. Fix it. No dreams for me tonight. Some layout. So this is what you can enjoy when you have money. And I'm going to enjoy it. I'm letting my nerves get the better of me. Not anymore. Feel better already. So out goes the light. I sleep like a millionaire. Yes, just like a millionaire.
And so Tom fell asleep. But unfortunately, he did dream. And he knew he was dreaming, but he couldn't wake up. It was a very curious dream indeed. He dreamed that he got up and dressed, rode down in the elevator, that he walked out into Park Avenue, and there, down the street, he found a tiny door which he had. It led down a flight of steep iron stairs to a dark tunnel far beneath the ground. There in the tunnel, a man was waiting for him. The man turned, and he saw it was his former pal, Joe Malone.
Hello, Tom.
Joe, it's you.
Yeah. I've been waiting for you, Tom.
But you're dead. I saw you killed.
Maybe I'm dead. Maybe I'm not.
You're dead. I know it. It's just a dream. I gotta wake up.
You can't wake up. Don't you understand? You're never gonna wake up.
I will.
No,
I will.
Tom. Now come along with me. I'm here to guide you.
Where? Where are you taking me?
Down the tunnel. See how it stretches out? On and on. How it keeps going down and down.
No.
Where do you think it goes to?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Come on now, Tom. I can't wait all night.
No, I won't go. I'm going to wake up.
You can't, Tom. Night I was killed, you saw the judgment special. Now you'll never get away from it.
It's not true. This is just a dream. I'm safe in my own bed in the hotel.
And you refuse to come with me?
Yes, I do. I refuse.
Listen, Tom.
Listen to what? I don't hear anything.
Listen. Closer now. You hear that? That's the judgment special, Tom. Coming through this tunnel.
Train. It's a train coming.
Where are you going to go? You're in a tunnel, Tom, and no way out.
It's just a dream. It can't hurt me.
It's coming closer, Tom. It's coming closer.
No, it's only a dream. I gotta wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, mister.
Oh. Thank heavens I'm awake.
I'd say not any too soon either.
But I... Who are you? Carrying a lantern.
Who am I, mister? I'm a track walker.
Track walker? What do you mean?
I mean that I inspect the track here under Park Avenue.
What? How did I get here?
Why, mister, a minute ago I found you walking in your sleep, your eyes tight closed down this tunnel right under Park Avenue.
Park Avenue?
If I hadn't met you, you never would open your eyes again, because number 10 is due along here in 3 minutes.
Then it wasn't a dream. I really am in a railroad tunnel. Yes, I am.
I'll say you are. How you got here, I don't know, unless you came down one of the inspection doors from the street. But, brother, if this walking in your sleep is something you do often, take my advice and see a doctor.
But Tom didn't go to a doctor, for he knew what a doctor would say. But it was his nerves, his guilty conscience. Now Tom felt he had to get away, far away to a place where there were no trains to harm him. At dawn, he bought a ticket on the first plane leaving for Canada. That afternoon, he found himself in a tiny town deep in the heart of Canada. There, he hired a French-Canadian guide to take him by canoe far into the woods, away from any trace of civilization. Late that night, they arrived at the cabin where the guide lived with his wife. Tom unpacked his suitcase and joined the guide and his wife on the porch. For the first time since the wrecking of the mine train, Tom felt at peace.
Oh, this is something like it.
It is peaceful, is it not, monsieur?
Yeah.
Ah, monsieur, nerve better already.
Yes, this is what I need. How far is it to the nearest railroad?
It is 80 miles, monsieur.
80 miles. Old Boomer said it traveled anywhere there were tracks. 80 miles ought to be enough.
Pardon? I do not understand.
Oh, never mind. I've got to get some sleep now.
Of course. Good night, monsieur.
Good night, monsieur.
What was that?
Where's what, monsieur?
That whistle, then. It sounded like a train whistle.
Impossible. It must have been an owl.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, I bothered you. Good night.
Tom entered his room and went to bed. But he could not sleep. He tossed and turned, and at last got up and dressed.
Moon is bright. I'll take a little walk. Gotta calm myself down. Nothing to worry about now, not a thing. Out here in the wild, I'm safe. Perfectly safe.
Tom left the cabin and entered the woods. They pressed thick around him. But an open passageway through the trees attracted Tom. He started down it, the moonlight illuminating his way. He paused and made a startling discovery.
Why, I'm walking on old railroad ties. And there are tracks here, all rusted and loose. But the guide said there wasn't a railroad closer than 80 miles. He lied to me. He tricked me. A train. There's a train coming. It's coming towards me. There's a headlight. I gotta run. Run. Run.
Marie!
Qu'est-ce que c'est que ça,
Pierre? The nervous one. He's not in the cabin. He has wandered up into the woods.
Oh, that is strange.
We must go after him. Hurry, before he does himself an injury.
It's still behind me. Still following me. I can't run anymore. I can't go any further. I gotta stop.
The judgment special, son. It runs any place there's tracks. And it follows you till it gets you. Because murdering a train is like murdering a man. You've got to pay for it. You think I'm crazy. You'll see. Here it comes, son.
No! No!
He cannot be far now, Marie. See his footprints. He was running for half a mile.
He would do himself harm running so hard in his darkness.
The nervous one. We have found him. He's lying face down. Wait. I will turn him over.
Pierre. He lies so still. Has he done himself an injury?
No, Marie. There is not a mark on him. But his face is twisted with fear.
Pierre. Is he dead?
Yes, Marie. He is dead. His heart. Himself by running, no doubt. What was it he ran away from? There is nothing dangerous in these woods.
Tracks he found himself on led to an abandoned logging camp. They hadn't been used in 20 years, and no train could possibly have run on them. Except a ghost train. But of course, none of us believes in ghosts, so we just have to accept the coroner's verdict, which was heart failure induced by overexertion. Just the same, if you ever see a train running without light and going faster than the wind, don't be too sure it's only your imagination. And next time you hear a distant, mournful whistle in the night, all this talk about trains is making you nervous, and you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. Shall we say next week at the same time?
You've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In today's cast were Maurice Tarplin, James McCallion, Joe Julian, Bryna Rayburn, and Cameron Andrews. Original music was played by Charles Paul. Mysterious Traveler is written, produced, and directed by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Listen next week to a tale titled
The Man the Insects Hated.
Another strange and shivery tale of the mysterious traveler. The Mysterious Traveler has come to you from our New York studios. Carl Caruso speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Well, shall we steam along to our next operation here? One of those shows that is also universally loved, and we know people in our group fit the category, Dr. Christian. And we're going to do something a little bit different with this. This, by the way, is from the late 30s, if you didn't know. We're going to have an intro by Baby Snooks before we hear one of those sappy old Dr. Oh, I can't say that, can I? Because they all love Dr. Christian. Okay, before we hear The Neediest Patient, let's have Baby Snooks give us the warm-up to it.
Daddy.
Get under the cover, Snooks. The doctor will be here any minute.
Did you call Dr. Christian?
Oh, of course. He's the best family physician I know of.
Why?
Well, you've listened to his radio program, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Christian, the small-town physician, the famous country doctor. He has an absorbing, heartwarming story to tell every Wednesday evening. And why is it heartwarming?
I don't know.
Why? Because Dr. Christian is a gentle country practitioner whose medicine is the milk of human kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there he is now. I'll go down and open the door.
Mm-hmm.
Come right in, Dr. Christian.
I was so sorry to hear Snooks is sick, Mr. Higgins. I was out, but my secretary, Judy Price, took the message.
Oh, it's nothing serious, Doctor. Just a typical childhood complaint.
I know what you mean, Mr. Higgins. With children, anything they shouldn't eat is a delicacy. It's her stomach, I take it.
Yes, I think so. Now, here we are.
Hello, Snooks.
Hello, Dr. Christian.
She won't tell me what's wrong, so I'll leave you alone with her.
Yes, leave her to me. Well, Snooks, we'll start in the usual manner. Let me see your tongue. Say ah.
Ah.
Yes, it does have a coat on it. Keep it open.
Are you looking for the pan?
No, of course not, child.
What have you got in that little black bag?
I'm afraid there's nothing in it that would interest you, Snooks.
I want to see the baby.
I have no baby today. It's just a little emergency kit.
Well, I want to see him.
See who?
The little pig.
Kid, not kid. Here, look at the bag if you want to.
All right. What's this wood for, Dr. Christian? Now,
those larger ones are splints for broken bones.
Hmm?
You have any idea how many bones are inside you?
I didn't swallow any bones.
No, your own bones. Take your spine, for instance. That's the bony thing that runs down your back.
Is it running?
No. Can't you feel it? Right there? That's your spinal column. Your head sits on one end.
And I sit on the other.
Yes. After fashion. But I was explaining the human skeleton.
Skeleton?
Yes. You know what that is, don't you?
Mm-hmm. It's a man with his outside off and his inside sticking out.
Well, maybe we'd better get on with the diagnosis.
My feet are cold.
Well, didn't your father give you a hot water bottle?
Yeah, but I couldn't get my foot in the neck.
We'll take care of that later. Now tell me, child, what did you eat this afternoon?
Nothing.
You know, Snooks, if you tell the truth, you'll get your reward in the end.
That's where I always get it.
Listen, dear, I know you ate something that disagreed with you. Perhaps it was ice cream or candy. Now, if you tell me what it was, I'll cure you and you'll be able to eat some more.
Dr. Christian, are you going to let me eat some more worms?
Is that what you ate, worms?
Mm-hmm. We was playing imitations, and I had to do an imitation of a chicken.
Is that the only way you could imitate a chicken?
Well, I couldn't lay an egg.
I see. Well, don't worry, Snooks. We'll give you something to take care of that worm.
Ain't you gonna take care of me?
I think a tablespoonful of this delicious medicine.
Well, Doctor, is she all right?
Oh, there's nothing to worry about, Mr. Higgins. I've got everything under control.
That's what I like about you, Dr. Christian. And I bet that's why everybody listens to your swell program every Wednesday night. The human, heartwarming stories that you and your nurse, Judy Price, bring to our firesides every Wednesday are truly grand entertainment.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Higgins. Now, about this medicine, Snooks.
Well, Snooks, say something. Open your mouth.
From New York City, we present Gene Hersholt in a new Dr. Christian story called The Neediest Case. Presented for your enjoyment by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Every man wants to keep his hair and keep it good looking. Unfortunately, overheated rooms, too much soap and water, all help to rob the hair of the protective oils that nature provided to keep it manageable and handsome. It grows dry, brittle. Your scalp sheds loose dandruff scales. Now don't let dry scalp threaten the good looks of your hair. Start now to combat this condition with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Every week before shampooing, give your scalp a thorough massage with Vaseline Hair Tonic. This stimulates the circulation and helps to supplement the natural scalp oils, which soap and water tend to remove. Then every morning, use a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic to dress your hair. It gives a soft, natural look and helps to counteract dryness. In fact, it's one tonic that simply cannot dry the hair. For Vaseline Hair Tonic contains no drying ingredients. It's economical, too. Dousing is unnecessary. Just a few drops on the hair each morning do the trick. Buy a bottle tomorrow. Vaseline Hair Tonic comes in convenient shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents. Well, the stage is all set here in the Columbia Playhouse in New York for Gene Hersholt, playing tonight in the Dr. Christian drama, The Neediest Case. As the curtain rises, we find him traveling along the icy road where telephone company troubleshooters are repairing wires blown down by the storm.
Hello there, Doc.
Oh, hello, Terry.
Hi, Doc.
Well, you fellas have got your work cut out for you today, all right.
And far into the night.
Regular doctor's hours, eh?
I'll say.
Oh, by the way, I noticed just now there's a wire down over on Willow Road.
On Willow Road, huh?
Yeah, right in front of Miss... Oh, what's her name? You know, the old lady who lives in that very shabby old brown house.
Oh, Miss Fenner.
Ivy Fenner, yeah. That's it. I didn't know whether she'd reported it or not.
Why, no.
No, she has no telephone. That's probably why.
Well, she may not even have seen it.
I don't know how she could have missed it. It's hanging right across her front gate.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's a bad place for a while.
Well, we'll go over and attend to it just as soon as we finish up here. Thanks for letting us know, Doc.
In the meantime, I'll drop by there and mention it to her, just so she won't by any chance walk into it.
Can you get by our truck all right there, Doc?
Sure. It's
Swing out a little more to your left.
Watch it, Doc.
All right, now you're clear. Okay.
Thank you. Goodbye.
See you later.
Dr. Christian.
Who?
Paul Christian.
Oh. Oh, just a minute, huh? I keep my door locked on account of all these solicitors and folks who come around trying to sell things.
Well, don't worry. I'm not working my way through college.
Huh? What?
Oh, I just stopped by to tell you that there's a wire down in front of your house.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, the repairmen will be around to fix it shortly. But I wanted to warn you in case you were going out to look out for it.
It's not likely I'd be going out in weather like this.
This pretty slippery underfoot.
Especially when you don't own so much as a pair of creepers.
Well, if there's nothing to take you out, you're certainly much better off right by your own fire.
Fire? What made you think I had a fire?
Why?
You didn't see any smoke coming out of my chimney, did you?
Miss Fennel.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
You mean to say you're living in an unheated house?
Oh, tain't bad.
With the thermometer down around zero?
Oh, I'm in bed most of the time anyway.
Well, my dear woman...
I'd be there now if I hadn't had to get up and answer the door.
You're sick?
No.
Well, suppose I come in and have a look at you.
No, I don't need a doctor.
Here, let me shut the door and keep some of this wind out.
I tell you, I don't need a doctor.
Oh, Lord, it's cool in here. Cooler than outside.
I can't afford a doctor.
Never you mind about that. You just get back into bed now.
No, I'm not sick.
Here, wait, let me help you.
It's just weakness.
There. Now, cover yourself up.
Yeah.
Are these all the blankets you've got?
Yes.
Oh, your hands and feet are like ice. You haven't a hot water bottle in the house, have you?
No.
Well, you stay there while I make a fire on the stove.
No, you can't.
Can't I? Oh, well, you don't know what a good fire builder I am. I can beat any Boy Scout in Riversend with one hand tied behind me.
Oh.
Now, where do you keep your wood?
There ain't any.
No wood?
Not a stick.
Nor any coal?
No.
Well, let's see what we can find to burn. What about this kitchen chair?
Oh, no.
Not a family heirloom, is it?
No, but...
I'll see that you get another to take its place. We've got to have some heat in this house right away.
I don't know if the stove grows or not. So long since I've had it lighted.
What do you use for cooking?
Well, I ain't done any cooking to speak of. Not since they turned the gas off.
You mean to say that...
Oh, it's all right. I just couldn't pay my bill.
Did you explain to the company?
No.
Well, I will. I'll go to Charlie Gorham and tell him. I'll tell the other good folks in Riversend, too, what's going on here right under their very noses. And believe me, I'm... Hello? Is that the Wood and Coal Company? Oh, is that you, Benny? This is Dr. Christian. Listen, Benny. I want you to do something for me. I want you to donate a half a quart of wood to an old woman who is freezing to death. No? Oh, I'm not joking. She is. Where? Right here in Riversend. Miss Fennel. Miss Ivy Fennel. Oh, on Willow Road. You know her? Well, she's in a bad way. Absolutely no heat in the house and not a cent of money, too. What? Well, of course, a whole quart would be just twice as welcome as half a quart. Thank you, Benny. I know I could count on you. I'll tell you the whole story when I see you. But I haven't time now. I've got some other people to call up.
Oh, I'm sorry I kept you waiting, Dr. Christian.
That's all right.
I was up in the attic hunting for some old foot warmers the family used to have.
Foot warmers?
Mm-hmm. I'm putting on a big sleigh ride tonight for a crowd of youngsters. You know, taking advantage of the snow and a holiday weekend.
So, that's why the pile of blankets here in the front hall?
Mm-hmm. Think we'll keep warm? Why, what's the matter?
Oh, I thought when I saw them that perhaps you'd heard and gotten them ready for me.
Heard? Heard what?
I happened on a most pitiful case today, Rita. The sort of thing you just wouldn't believe could exist in a place like River's End.
Really? Tell me.
You know Miss Fennel?
The old witch?
Oh, she's not a witch. She's a poor old woman.
Why, we always used to think so as children. We were scared to death to go near her house for fear she'd grab us and eat us.
Heaven knows she's hungry enough to do something desperate.
What? What do you mean?
She's starving, Rita. That poor old creature is literally starving.
Dr. Christian.
That isn't all. She's had no heat in that house of hers all winter. It's like a tomb.
Oh, how awful. Well,
she has no warm clothes, and her blankets are so worn and so thin that she can see right through them.
Is she as poor as all that?
She's absolutely penniless.
But why didn't she let somebody know?
Too proud, I guess.
Proud? That sniveling old whining...
Rita.
Well...
I'm surprised at you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I... it's the old witch complex, I guess, but I just can't bear that old woman.
If you'd seen her as I saw her this morning, you could feel nothing but pity in your heart for her.
Perhaps.
To me, there's nothing quite so sad as old age that's destitute and friendless.
Well, it's her own fault she has no friends.
Evidently, I've come to the wrong place. I'm sorry to have bothered you, Rita.
Oh, Dr. Christian, forgive me. I shouldn't have said what I did.
I thought you'd be the first to offer aid and sympathy.
Well, I'll be glad to do anything I can, of course. What is it you want?
Donations.
Food?
Oh, Jim Pearson has promised to send me a supply of grocery for from the store.
Mm-hmm.
It's clothing I'm after from the ladies.
All right. Have you a list?
In my head.
Well, tell me and I'll write it down.
Blankets.
Mm-hmm. Blankets.
A hot water bottle. You know, every family has an extra one.
Mm-hmm. That leaks. But all right. What else?
Let's see. Flannel nightgowns.
Mm-hmm.
A warm wrapper.
Wrapper.
Bed socks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's me, and I've brought a very charming young lady with me.
Huh? I don't want a nurse. I won't have a nurse.
Oh, I'm not a nurse, Miss Fenner.
Oh.
I'm Rita Wells.
The lady who's responsible for the blankets and the other nice things.
Oh. Wells, eh?
Yes, I used to live right near here, over on Sycamore Road when I was a little girl. Don't you remember?
There were so many brats screeching around the neighborhood, breaking windows and all. I couldn't keep track of them.
Oh.
What you got there?
A jar of homemade chicken soup that I thought you might like.
Chicken soup, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been very partial to chicken soup.
Oh, but wait till you taste this. It's hyper, super, extra good.
Let me see it.
All right. Here it is.
What's them little black things floating through it?
Oh, that's just seasoning.
Looks like pin feathers to me.
Oh, Miss Fenner.
Well, set it down somewhere. If I feel like eating any of it later on, I will, but I don't know.
You eat too. You should eat, you know. You ought to get your strength back.
I'm past being hungry.
Now, if you'd let me heat it up for you and fix some crackers with it, it would
What you need is a nurse.
I don't want a nurse.
Just the same, you ought to have one.
No.
It's all wrong, your being here all alone.
I'm used to it.
Yes, I know.
I don't want any strange woman living in my house snooping around.
Oh, she wouldn't snoop.
I know what nurses are like, always poking in bureau drawers and peeking in closets and asking questions that's none of their business. I won't have one, I tell you.
Oh, but you'd be so much more comfortable.
I'm all right.
Well, if you don't want anyone around here on full-time duty, well, how about getting the district nurse to come in once a day just to give you good back rub and make your bed and...
My bed don't need making. I'm in it all the time anyway.
Well, the doctor means smoothing it up and changing the linen and turning the mattress.
What's the idea of turning the mattress? The other side's just the same.
To get the bumps out of it.
What do you mean?
Why, don't you see what a big hollow there is where you've been lying and then how the...
You keep away from my bed and from me, do you hear? Keep away!
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I think I'll be running along, Dr. Christian, if you don't mind. I have some errands to do.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll give you a lift.
All right, but I don't want to hurry you.
Oh, I'm going right along, too, anyway.
All right.
Just want to check up with this lady and make sure she's taking the medicine and tonic I prescribed.
Doctor, I was going to ask you about that tonic.
Yes?
Don't you think a little sherry or port wine would be better?
Well, it wouldn't take the place of the liver extract, I'm afraid.
Never could stand the taste of liver.
Oh, you can't taste the liver in that tonic.
I can taste something I don't like. Tastes like the fillings in your teeth.
Well, that's the iron in it you taste.
Oh.
And iron is good for you.
Then you won't let me have any sherry or port wine?
No, of course I will. If you'll take the tonic, too. I'll bring you a bottle the next time I come.
Oh, no, never mind. Wine's a luxury.
Now, which do you prefer, sherry or port?
It's hard to say. I like them both.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll bring you a bottle of each. How's that?
You mean as a present?
Of course.
I hate to accept it from you. I'm accepting so much.
No, that's all right.
All these visits of yours, they are just friendly visits, aren't they?
Of course.
Well, I just wanted to make sure. I'd be glad to pay you, Doctor, if I could, but I...
I understand.
It's so dreadful to be poor.
You stop worrying about money now. Just concentrate on getting well. I'll be to see you again tomorrow.
With the wine.
With the wine. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Miss Fenner.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry she spoke to you like that, Rachel. It wasn't kind of her.
Well, it's all right by me. I'm perfectly willing to stay away from her and from her house. Did you ever see such a dirty place in your life?
Oh, poor soul.
Now, listen, Dr. Christian. There's no excuse for anyone living in filth.
You're old and sick, my dear, and have nobody to do for you then.
Well, she certainly found someone to do for her now.
Who?
You.
Oh.
And she's playing you for all your worth, begging for wine.
Oh, the wine will do good.
You'll pay for it out of your own pocket, of course.
No, I might prevail upon Dan McCarty to donate it, of course.
Well, he'll never get thanked for it either.
You mustn't judge her too harshly. Poverty does strange things to people. And besides, she hasn't long to live.
Is she in bad shape?
Very. Felicia's anemia.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, at least he doesn't suffer. If he can just make her comfortable and bring a little light into her life.
Oh, you are good, Dr. Christian. You make me ashamed of myself. Well, I'll do anything I can for her, of course. We all will.
While waiting for the curtain to go up on the next act of our Dr. Christian drama, The Neediest Case, starring Gene Hirschholt in the role of Dr. Christian, we want you to hear what this lady has to say.
The other day when the bridge club met at my house, my partner said, "Look at Helen's hands. They're white and smooth looking even in this cold weather, and she does just as much housework as the rest of us." Well, I told them how I take care of chapped hands, and they were all so grateful that I'm glad of this chance to pass along a discovery to you. It's a simple thing to do, and so much less expensive than almost anything else you can use. When my hands get chapped and rough, I rub them with Vaseline jelly. It's soothing and helps lubricate the skin, you know. Then, if I'm doing housework at the time, I work Vaseline jelly well into my hands and wear a pair of old cotton gloves while I'm doing my dusting and cleaning, and they heal much more quickly.
Helping to take the soreness and redness out of chapped hands is just one of the ways a 10-cent jar of Vaseline jelly can help you. For Vaseline jelly not only soothes irritated skin, but helps to supplement the natural skin oils. It forms a thin protective film that helps to keep infection out when the skin is broken. And it promotes healing. Get a jar or tube of Vaseline jelly tomorrow. return now to the next act of The Neediest Case. As the curtain rises, we find representatives of the River's End Telephone Company installing a telephone beside Miss Ivy Fenner's bed at Dr. Christian's insistence.
Hand me that screwdriver, will you, Howard?
Sure thing, Cat.
How much longer is it going to take you men to get that telephone installed?
Oh, we'll be through in a few minutes.
Won't be long now.
I don't know why you have to do all your pounding right by the head of my bed.
Because that's where the doctor said the phone was to be placed.
Oh.
So you can reach right out and call him anytime you want him.
I'm sick enough to need him. I'll be too sick to remember his number.
Well, you just say to the operator, I want Dr. Christian, and she'll get him for you.
Yeah, just like saying, give me the police, or I want to report a fire, see?
Got those wire cutters?
Yeah, they're right by your hand there.
The whole thing's nonsense. I've got along all my life without a telephone.
Well, the doctor says he'll feel easier in his mind knowing you have one.
Don't you think we need a little bit more length? Yeah, reach the bed there.
What's my number going to be?
Cedar 365, ring 4.
365. Give me a piece of paper. I want to write it down.
Well, it's printed right here on the instrument.
I said I want to write it down.
Okay. Will this do?
Yeah, I guess so. I can write on the back of it.
Here, here's my pen.
Cedar.
365, ring 4. It's a party wire, you see.
Which means it'll always be busy.
Oh, no, there are only three others on it. There's Mrs. Osborne.
She's ring 1, Miss Fenner.
So you're writing all this down?
Who else?
The Lymans.
Lymans are ring 2.
Yeah. And the Lees, they're ring 3.
And Ivy Fenner, ring 4.
That's right.
Ivy Fenner. I wish my hand didn't shake so. Can you read my signature?
Oh, sure, sure.
Plain as day.
Now you write your names down at the bottom.
Our names?
What for?
So if anything goes wrong with the phone, I'll know who to blame.
Well, ladies, that isn't necessary, ma'am. The company will have a record of the job.
I like to keep my own records.
Oh, all right. Let me have the pen. There you are.
Terry Munn. Now you.
Okay.
Howard Scudder. One of the Scudder tribe, eh?
Yes'm.
Put the date down, too.
All right. Friday, December 30th, 1938. There.
Now give it to me.
Yes'm.
And hurry up and finish your work and get out of here.
Oh, we're almost done now. I'll
be long. Tired. I can't hardly breathe.
Hey, what's the matter? Miss Fenner. Miss Fenner. Howard, she's dying. Get that phone connected quick.
Here, it's done.
Thank the Lord. Hello. Hello, operator. Give me Dr. Christian's office, quick.
Not to hear that querulous old voice coming from the bed.
Let's hope she's sane for a change now.
I doubt it. Hey, these blankets we gave her can be washed and used for somebody else.
Sure.
But the mattress isn't fit for anything. Look at it.
I wanted to get her a new one, but she insisted she'd slept in this one all her life. Wouldn't be comfortable in any other.
Never had it cleaned once, I'll bet, in all the years she had it.
You'd better burn it.
All right. Let's carry it out in the backyard and make a bonfire of it right now.
Of course, if there's good hair in it, it could be sterilized.
Oh, that's not a hair mattress. It's the cheapest kind of cotton.
We'll soon find out. There's a big grip in the middle of the taking.
How can you bear to put your hand inside that filthy old thing?
Well,
What's the matter?
Oh, we were both wrong. It's stuffed with paper.
What?
Look. Oh. A big handful of...
Why, Dr. Christian, it's a... It's money.
Well, I'll be...
Great wads of bills.
Big denominations, too. Look.
Good.
500.
Oh.
500. A thousand.
That's the first $1,000 bill I ever saw in my life.
100. 500. 100. Another 1,000.
There's a fortune there, Doctor.
Here, help me count it.
All right, I'll take this pile.
500. 50. 500. 500. 500. 500. Well,
there's $4,500 in my pile.
Yeah, and $5,750 in mine.
Hey, that's over $10,000.
$10,250.
And to think that we almost burned it up, it makes me fairly weak in the knees to think of it.
I'm feeling rather shaky myself.
Hey, wait till Riverland hears of this, the town's neediest case. Dr. Christian's pet charity.
I had no idea that...
Oh, you're going to have the life kitted out of you.
I'm afraid so.
Begging donations, but all the time she had more than any of us. You know, we're going to insist on you reimbursing us.
I?
Mm-hmm, out of this money.
But it's not mine.
Of course it is.
No.
Well, you found it, didn't you?
That doesn't make it mine.
But it...
Oh, it belongs to the state.
What?
Unless some relative puts in an appearance and claims it.
Oh, but that isn't fair.
It's the law, my dear. When a person dies without leaving a will, there's no heirs. The money goes automatically to the state.
But in this case, if you hadn't found it, we'd have burned.
Oh, that makes no difference.
You mean to say you're not entitled to any of it?
Not a cent. Oh, I could submit a bill for professional services, I suppose. But that wouldn't amount to much.
Well, I never heard of anything so unfair after all you did for her.
I admit I could make good use of it. $10,000. Oh, it would go a long way towards some hospital equipment I've been wanting.
Yes. It just makes me boil when I think of her lying there, accepting everything from you and not even thanking you for it, mewing about being so poor.
Might not have known about the money.
Don't be silly. Why else would she have insisted on hanging on to this filthy old mattress? Why was she so afraid of having anyone even touch her bed? Why, of course she knew.
Yeah, I guess she did.
The old miser.
Oh, well, such people are really pathological cases. You know. Well, who can that be?
Now, don't tell me that the state treasurer has heard so soon.
Come in.
Hello, Doc.
Oh,
it's you, Terry.
Hello, Miss Wells.
Hello. Say, we thought you might be a long-lost relative of the deceased turning up to claim your share of the estate.
No, I just came to take the telephone out.
No.
Will I be in your way?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. We're just looking over things. Go right ahead.
Okay. Last time I was here, it was to put the phone in. Didn't do her much good, did it?
No.
You know, she sure went sudden there at the end. She'd been talking to Howard and me and writing and...
Writing?
Yeah, putting down the names of the other folks on her party wire. There's a list here under the telephone, just as she wrote it.
Well.
I gave her one of my report slips to write on. See? Cedar 365. I hear...
What's the matter? What is it?
Well, this isn't a list at all. I guess the old lady was having a little fun with you, Doctor.
What?
Here, read it.
Cedar 365.
Yeah, that was her number.
I hereby give and decree everything of which I'm possessed to the only good friend I've ever had, Dr. Paul Christian.
Oh, Dr. Christian.
Signed, Ivy Fennel. And witnessed by Terry Munn and Howard Scudder. Well, what do you know about that?
And so the curtain falls on another drama of River's End, starring Gene Hersholt. Mr. Hersholt will be out in front in a moment to take a bow and to tell you about next week's program. Meanwhile, I have a word to say about the products that make this program possible. You know, housework is hard on the hands at any time of the year. But in the winter especially, it's very, very hard. Remember to rub a little soothing Vaseline jelly on your hands at the first sign of roughness or redness. Vaseline jelly is wonderful for the skin because it supplements the natural skin oils and helps to overcome dryness. It is refined under the strictest standards and contains no acids, chemicals, or other irritants. In fact, Vaseline jelly is so pure you can eat it. Be sure to look for the familiar Vaseline trademark when you buy. It is your guarantee of absolute purity. And remember, Vaseline jelly is also the base of a number of specialty products. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Ask your druggist about their special benefits. In our drama, The Neediest Case Tonight, You heard Miss Josephine Hull, Broadway star, in the role of the old lady, Ivy Fenner. Miss Gloria Holden, Hollywood featured player, in the role of the society girl, Rita Wells. And Frank Butler, Mary Kroger, and Mary Stewart. Now, here is our star, Jean Hirschholt, as Dr. Christian. I hear plans are on foot for the annual dinner of the State Medical Society next week in Center City, at which the great surgeon, Sir Thomas Beaton, is to be guest of honor. Is that right, Dr. Christian?
Yes, we're all looking forward to meeting him. In fact, I'm determined to get him to look at a patient of mine, Mrs. Bentley. The story of Mrs. Bentley, in fact, is our drama for next week. And it's called The Guest of Honor. And so until next Tuesday night at the same hour, I'll say good night.
Don't fail to listen to Jean Hirschholt's Dr. Christian drama next Tuesday night at this same hour. It is called The Guest of Honor. Your announcer, Andre Baruch. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Okay, you can wipe your tears away. It more or less was a happy ending. And speaking of endings, we're coming to our ending feature for tonight. As you know, it's always the Baxters. This time we're talking about an argument, and can anybody win this one?
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Well, all I can say is you call yourself Quick Service Dry Cleaners. This makes the fifth time I phoned you people, and my dress is still not delivered. Now, my husband and I are going to a dinner party tonight. It is now 6:10. Well, could I talk to somebody who does know something about it, please?
Mom, the dry cleaner just drove up.
Oh, hello? The man is here now. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, now, where can your father be? Why are we always late to everything?
Oh, Daddy's home. He's taking a shower.
Why didn't you tell me, dear?
Well, I thought you knew. He came in while you were out feeding the dog.
Oh.
I said, Mother thought you'd forgotten that you were going out to dinner. He said, no. Everything's gone wrong today. And he flew up the stairs.
Oh, well, thank heavens.
Oh, I'll get you dressed.
No. You go put some wax paper over the shrimp canopies I'm taking to Elaine's, please. Thank you.
Dry cleaner. Mrs. Baxter?
Yes.
I'm sorry to deliver this so late.
Oh, well, thank you. Let me make sure it's the right dress. It's all I need. Oh, yes, it is. Thank you very
much.
We're
sorry we lost the dress there for a while. We don't know exactly what happened.
Well, I've got the dress now, so it's all right. Thank you very
much. Probably what happened, lots of times when the drivers get the things on the truck, they're supposed to go back and double check.
Yes. Well, I
understand. Sometimes they forget to go back to the special handling rack.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter now. I've got
the dress. Well, I just thought I should explain.
Well, that's very nice of you, but I'm kind of in a hurry. We're going out to dinner and we're late.
I know how it is. Anyhow, you're regular driver must have slipped up somehow and just didn't, check and double-check the special handling.
Uh-huh.
And that's how these mistakes happen.
Well, that's very...
You take a long dress like that, that needs special attention, and we just hope you accept our apology for any mix-up that may have happened.
I do. I accept your apology, and thank you so very much. I really appreciate getting the dress.
Well, I just wanted to explain since we had to make this special trip.
Yeah, I understand, and I do thank you. Excuse me, I have to rush this dinner party. Goodbye.
Well, enjoy your dinner party.
Yeah. Oh, honestly. Debbie, I forgot to feed the cat. Oh, I hope your father is almost ready. We are always so late. Did you notice that?
Liveryman kept explaining about my dress. He went on and on and on. I suppose he wanted a tip, but I didn't have time to even look for any money. I pressed your dinner jacket.
Oh, it looks fine. Looks fine.
Yes, it does.
Anyhow, as I was saying, everything that could have gone wrong today has gone wrong.
Sit me up the back, will you,
yeah,
dear? Oh, I have got to diet.
With Jenkins and Bemis on vacation, nobody can find anything. Bradley was in an uproar over the Pendleton contract.
I went to get my hair done this morning, and Lily was out sick. I had to have Agnes, and she's terrible. Look at my hair.
All right, hold your breath.
Yeah.
Now, suck it in. I can't get this thing zipped up.
Oh, I don't remember the dress being this tight. Wonder if they shrink things at the dry cleaners. Ooh, I can't even breathe.
There.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable. I've got to diet. Tomorrow, starting tomorrow, definitely going on a diet.
At lunchtime, the waitress got all our orders mixed up, and when Joe bawled her out, she burst into tears. And when she rushed off, she knocked into another waitress carrying a tray, and a custard pudding slid off, hit me on the head, and landed in my lap.
Oh, honestly. Well, don't talk so much, darling. Get dressed. It's so late. Here's your tie.
Oh, I didn't tell you. I stopped in at the cigar store on my way home to get some pipe cleaners, and the guy shortchanged me.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now, listen, the Mooleys are going to be at the Wittigs tonight, so for heaven's sakes, don't bring up politics.
Oh, look at this tie. I never can tie these
things.
Oh, well,
let me do it. Stand still.
I got a package of 10-cent pipe cleaners, handed the guy a $5 bill, and he gave me back change for a one. And I said, I beg your pardon. I said, I gave you a five. Well, we had a big hassle over that, but I knew I only had a five, so I stuck to my guns, and finally he gave me the right change.
Oh, well, that was good. That was good. Let me look at you. Oh, that's fine. Oh, you look so nice in a dinner jacket. I wish we dressed up more often. Such fun, isn't it? Oh, my earrings.
On top of everything, the air conditioning didn't work today.
And
you know the windows don't open in this new building, so everybody just sweltered.
Oh, I'll bet they did. Are you ready?
Oh, yes. As ready as I'm going to be.
Let's go then. Come on. Debbie, did you feed the cat?
Hey, look out. Don't trip on your dress going down the stairs.
No. I'll be careful. Go on out and get the car started.
Okay.
I want to tell Debbie. Oh, Debbie, dear, I defrosted two hamburgers
for you.
I know,
Mom. Say, stop worrying about me. Just go. Have a good time.
Well,
I haven't got the car keys.
I'll get them, Daddy. Where are they?
They're on top of the dresser, I think. I had them in my other suit.
I just hate the way my hair turned out. I look awful.
No, you look fine.
Well,
you look lovely.
Well,
now, come on.
Wonder if I should take a wrap of some kind in case we sit out on their porch later on. You know, it might be chilly.
Chilly? For Pete's sake, it's so hot today.
Well,
wait a minute. What porch?
I think I'll just take this white shawl, you know, to throw it on my... Okay. Let's go.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter? What is the matter?
Where are you going?
What?
Just where do you think you're going?
What are you talking about? We're going to the Wittigs for dinner.
I'm not going to the Wittigs for dinner.
What?
I'm not going to the Wittigs for dinner. I'm going to the men's club banquet.
The men's club banquet?
The men's club banquet.
Now, look here.
Now, I told you weeks ago, tonight was the men's club banquet.
No, I'm sorry. I know you're late, Mom, but I can't find the car keys. Where did you put them, Daddy?
Just look for them, Debbie, and take your time. Your father and I have something to discuss.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra Rich Cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Well, I finally found the car keys, Daddy. They'd fallen on the floor. Hey, what's the matter? Why are you two just sitting in here glaring at each other? I thought you were already late.
I told you weeks ago that I was going to the men's club banquet tonight.
Never, never. You never said one word.
I most certainly did. You know I go every year. It's an annual affair.
You never mentioned that it was tonight. I asked you last week, Tuesday it was, when Elaine phoned and invited us, and I said
this
to you...
This is the first I heard of Elaine inviting us to dinner.
You were sitting right there when she called, and when I asked you if tonight was all right, you said, fine, fine, fine,
I don't
fine.
Remember anything about Elaine calling.
You were sitting right there in that big chair, a week ago Tuesday.
I don't remember where I was sitting a week ago Tuesday.
Well, I do. It was right there.
Well, what is it matter where I was sitting? I don't remember Elaine Whitting calling at all.
Well, she called.
I have planned to go to the men's club banquet as I go every year. I've planned for weeks.
You can't. Elaine has planned a very formal dinner for exactly 8 people. She has worked like a dog getting ready. You have got to go.
Well, excuse me, you two. This looks like a sudden death playoff. Here are the car keys on the telephone stand. I'll just go out and fix my own dinner. Hey, let me know who wins.
May I ask, where did you think I was going?
Well, I don't know.
Did you think I was going with you to the men's club banquet?
Well, no. How could you? It's just for men.
Well, then where did you think I was going? I mean, what did you think I was getting all dressed up for?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think. I was late.
You didn't even wonder? You mean you could watch me getting all dolled up, wearing a long dress for the first time in ages, and you're in the same room, and you don't even wonder what I'm doing?
Well, I wasn't paying attention. I had a dozen other things on my mind. Problems at the office, a cigar store man shortchanging me. Look, I'm used to dressing in the same room with you. I didn't even notice.
No, it's certainly flattering.
Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Oh,
what did you
boy.
Think I was talking about when I said the Mooleys were going to be at the Whittings tonight, and don't bring up politics? Or didn't you even hear me say that?
I guess not.
Now, what are we going to do?
Well, can't you call Elaine, make some excuse, or tell her the truth, say we got dates mixed up?
Well, you know how much trouble it is to give a dinner party. And Elaine is being very fancy. She thought it'd be fun to wear long dresses and dinner jackets. She's having special lobster dish, then pressed duck with orange sauce, baked Alaska.
Oh, Lord.
Her good dishes, good silver, 3 different kinds of wine to go with each thing. She is even having place cards.
Is that the ultimate in dinner parties? Place cards?
Well, it seems so. The point is, we're all so casual these days on cookouts, everybody in jeans or slacks and old shirts, and Elaine thought it would be nice if we dressed up for once. Well, if you don't want to go, I don't know.
That isn't that I don't want to go. It's just that I planned on going to the banquet. Now, can't you explain to Elaine...
Not me. Oh, you explain. It's up to you. I can't force you one way or the other, you know.
Well, you haven't really tried yet.
What's that mean?
It means that in 2 minutes you're going to ask me if it isn't more fun to go somewhere with you than it is to go stag without you.
Silly. Well, isn't it more fun to be with me than go stag with us? There. Oh, that must be Elaine now. We are so late. She must be hysterical. What are you going to tell her?
Debbie, come here, please, and get the phone.
I'm coming. Who won?
Who do you suppose? If that's Elaine, tell her we're on our way. Now, come on.
Hello?
Oh, honey.
Yes, listen. Mrs. Whittick. No, they should be
you
there
know,
any minute.
I'm sorry, dear. I really am. I don't know how these things happen.
Well, I know. I told you about the men's club banquet.
I know I told you about the Whittings party.
No,
you were sitting in that big
it.
Chair. It was on Tuesday when you called.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Claro, to know you're the best you can be. This is the Serial Network.
So, be sure to join us next time when we find out whether this domestic dispute becomes domestic violence, and do Bob and Peg morph into the Bickersons. Anyway, that's it for tonight. Thanks for being here, making it fun for me. I hope you enjoyed the programs. We had a bit of a variety, so that could have helped. We'll give Luis a second or two to get over here. Once we play our theme, he can do his thing. But before that, as always, we say good listening, good luck, good night, and goodbye.
I love to listen to my radio. Gee, how it thrills me when I hear it go. Someday you'll hear it too.
Okay, Rick. I think it's about time that we get you out of here, shut things down, and wrap things up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to the MSS director. He can be found via email at mikeameli@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, please be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.